This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and you're with Lynn and Sharmila on Popit Popit Parliament, where we take you through highlights from the Day One Rakyat, starting with a short follow-up from last week's saga of did or didn't the finance minister resign? The short answer is no, he did not. This was confirmed by Deputy Finance Minister Datuk Mohamad Shaha Abdullah when he answered a question by the same MP who brought it up last week, you may remember, Pokok Sena MP Mahfuz Omar.
Saya nak merujuk kepada kenyataan Menteri Keuangan sekarang. Harap-harap belum bekas lah. Kan dah bekas lah. Baik. Menteri Keuangan telah mengatakan bahawa ini soal hutang, soal pinjaman. Jika dibenarkan untuk pengeluaran ini, akan menyebabkan lebih kurang 63 bilion akan dikeluarkan wang KWSP. Dan ini akan membawa kepada kemungkinan kerajaan melalui KWSP terpaksa jual aset-aset yang KWSP di luar negara. Ini kenyataan yang dibuat oleh Menteri Keuangan. Jadi saya nak tanya, apakah langkah-langkah yang diambil untuk mengatasi masalah ini?
Terima kasih, Pertua Yang Berhormat Pokok Sena. Yang Berhormat Menteri Keuangan masih menjalankan tugas sebagai Menteri Keuangan, tidak ada peletakan jawatan. Saya nak maklumkan kepada Yang Berhormat Pokok Sena, tempoh hari saya telah maklumkan kepada Yang Berhormat di luar Dewan. Hari ini saya maklumkan dalam Dewan. Saya harap Tansi Pertua Yang Berhormat Pokok Sena tak bangkitkan isu ini lagi. Tapi balik kepada persoalan yang dibangkitkan oleh Yang Berhormat berkaitan
KWSP. Pasal bos tak mai, itu saya tanya.
Berkaitan isu KWSP yang disebutkan oleh Yang Berhormat Pokok Sena tadi, keputusan kerajaan untuk membenarkan pengeluaran RM10,000 secara one-off akan manfaatkan 6.3 juta ahli. Sudah pasti bila kita perlu menyediakan nilai pengeluaran sebanyak 63 bilion, ia akan memberi kesan terhadap kemampuan pelaburan KWSP dalam masa jangka pendek. Bukan sederhana, bukan panjang. Itu sebabnya KWSP akan mengimbangi semula portfolio bagi mengurangkan kesan kepada prestasi pelaburan KWSP. Dan untuk ramai umat, KWSP sentiasa committed untuk memastikan dana persaraan ahlinya terjamin. Terima kasih, Pertua.
What if we come to that a deputy minister has to assure us, what, three times now that his minister is still in office? I mean,
bukan bekas.
I know, my goodness. Anyway, the deputy minister also talked about the status of the country's national debt. As of December 2021, that figure stands at 979.8 billion ringgit, which amounts to 63% of the country's GDP. However, according to him, the percentage is still under the 65% GDP limit set in the temporary measures for reducing the impact of COVID-19.
Untuk maklumat Dewan Yang Mulia, hutang keseluruhan Kerajaan Persekutuan sehingga akhir Disember 2021 mencatatkan 979.8 bilion ringgit Malaysia atau 63.4% daripada KDNK. Manakala nisbah hutang statutory Kerajaan Persekutuan yang merangkumi instrumen MGS, MGII dan MITB mencatatkan 5.97% daripada KDNK. Namun, masih di bawah had 65% KDNK yang telah ditetapkan dalam Akta Langkah-Langkah Sementara bagi Pembiayaan Kerajaan Penyakit Coronavirus 2019 COVID-19 Pindaan 2021.
That was Deputy Minister Datuk Mohamad Shaha Abdullah.
Moving on now to a question by Pasir Mas MP Ahmad Fadli Shari about the long-standing issue of heavy school bags. Deputy Minister of Education Datuk Dr. Mahang Soon announced several measures that the government will take to lighten the weight of school bags, particularly for students between Standard 1 and 3.
Ketetapan KPM yang akan dilaksanakan segera adalah seperti berikut. Yang pertama, penyediaan loka. KPM akan menyediakan loka di sekolah rendah secara berfasa. Kedua, penyusunan semula jadual waktu, melaksanakan jadual waktu yang mengandungi 3 hingga 4 mata pelajaran sehari mengikut kaedah dan pelaksanaan yang sesuai, terutama aspek pemberatan subjek, ketersediaan guru dan sesi persekolahan. Ketiga, buku latihan. Bilangan buku latihan hendaklah tidak melebihi 2 buah buku bagi setiap mata pelajaran pada satu-satu masa. Setiap buku latihan hendaklah tidak melebihi 80 muka surat. Keempat, buku teks digital. Sehingga kini, sebanyak 692 jodoh buku teks digital telah dimuat naik dalam Pelantar Digital Educational Learning Initiative Malaysia atau DELIMA. Kelima, kerjasama dengan JAKIM juga diadakan dari aspek penyelarasan uniform agar murid diberi kelonggaran untuk memakai uniform sekolah masing-masing semasa sesi persekolahan KAFA.
So the Deputy Minister also added that books only made up 28% of the weight of school bags.
Sebenarnya cuma 28% daripada jumlah berat beg murid itu adalah daripada buku teks ataupun buku latihan mereka. Ya. Jadi yang selebihnya 32% adalah daripada kandungan yang lain, ya. Sama ada makanan yang dibawa, minuman, you know, air, berat beg yang dibawa, yang digunakan dan juga daripada alat tulis. Dan ada yang murid yang menghadiri ya, kelas KAFA pada petang, mereka bawa uniform untuk ditukar dan sebagainya.
That was Deputy Minister of Education, Datuk Dr. Mahang Soon. So a few plans there to reduce the weight load of school bags, the standouts being installing lockers, reducing the number of textbooks, and also reducing the number of subjects that are actually taught in a day. Let us know if you have thoughts and ideas, actually. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Next, MP for Ledang, Syed Ibrahim Syed Noor, asked for the Communications and Multimedia Ministry to comment on the recent uptick in NFTs. So Deputy Minister Datuk Zahidi Zainul Abidin didn't really have anything to say about NFTs, but he did urge the government to recognise cryptocurrency as legal tender.
Saya juga begitu cepat saya tekan apa yang kat awal tadi tentang kripto, kerana ini adalah perniagaan anak muda dan seluruh dunia sekarang ini telah berkembang, antaranya cryptocurrency dan sebagainya, Bitcoin dan sebagainya. Jadi kita seperti yang saya katakan tadi, semuanya di bawah Bank Negara dan juga Security Commission. Walau bagaimanapun, kita di pihak kementerian, kita ingin daftarkan sebab ini masa depan, perniagaan masa depan, juga program kewangan masa depan, terutamanya anak-anak muda sekarang ini. Jadi kita harap kerajaan dapat membenarkan dan dapat kita kata sekarang ni tak legalize. Sekarang ni kita kalau cuba, macam mana kita nak cuba legalizekan benda ni supaya penyertaan golongan anak muda dalam kripto ini dapat kita kembangkan dan dapat kita bantu mereka. Sebagai contohnya, sekarang ni kecurian retrik dan sebagainya, mining kripto, kecurian perniagaan yang haram dan sebagainya. Bagaimana kita nak bantu mereka supaya kita dapat membenarkan mereka, legalize benda ni dan kita bantu mereka dari segi penggunaan tenaga dan sebagainya.
That was Deputy Minister for Communications and Multimedia, Datuk Zahidi Zainul Abidin. An interesting one, right? Let us know, would you like to see cryptocurrency being approved as legal tender in the country? This is something that comes up quite a bit, I think, in discussions about crypto, whether or not, well, I mean, the question I hear often anyway is, where would I use it? And so this at least would answer that particular question. Anyway, is this something you'd like to see, cryptocurrency approved as legal tender in the country? That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Moving on to the afternoon session, Permatang Pau MP Nuruliza Anwar spoke about the increase in minimum wage to 1,500 ringgit, and she said that she was shocked by Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob's decision to make the announcement during the UMNO General Assembly, which took place on 19th of March.
Isu gaji minima pun walaupun kita alu-alukan, terkejut juga diumum semasa perhimpunan Agung UMNO. Saya rasa that's unprecedented. Selalunya Perdana Menteri dia ambil keputusan dalam, yeah, you are Prime Minister for all of Malaysia, bukan hanya parti masing-masing. Jadi sementara kita sambut baik, tapi kita kena ingat isu 1,500 diwar-warkan sebelum pandemik menyerang ataupun menghimpit semua kita. Dan purata gaji bulanan yang diterima oleh pekerja Malaysia berkurang sebanyak 9% dari 2020 hinggalah 2021. Jadi bila dalam Akta Majlis Perundingan Gaji Negara 2011, Akta 732, dia peruntukkan kajian terhadap perintah gaji minima perlu dilaksanakan sekurang-kurangnya sekali dalam setiap 2 tahun. So it's a good start, tapi ia relevan mungkin 4 tahun lalu. Dan saya bukanlah mengatakan kita tak ambil kira keperluan majikan, hanya contextually, you have to be fair.
That was Permatang Pau MP Nurul Iza Anwar.
Next, Segambut MP Hannah Yeo, supporting the amendment to increase maternity and paternity leave for working parents. She did say that 3 days paternity leave isn't enough and that it should be increased to 7 days to provide support for wives who have just given birth.
Ini akan membolehkan
golongan bapa menguruskan hal kelahiran dan sekaligus kita boleh mengelakkan isu-isu permohonan pendaftaran kelahiran yang lambat di Putrajaya ataupun di pejabat-pejabat JPN. Yang keduanya adalah untuk golongan ibu yang mengalami ataupun melalui pembedahan cesarean. Seperti saya, saya dua kali cesarean dan saya boleh tahu dalam hari ketiga baru saya nak turun berjalan semula. Jadi kalau ada akses kepada suami bersama saya dan cuti 7 hari, ia akan banyak membantu golongan ibu yang bersalin melalui cesarean.
That was Segambut MP Hannah Yeo. Now, this issue of paternity leave and the 3 days, 7 days issue is something that we looked at quite extensively last week. If you'd like to have a listen, look up the podcast, The Fight for Paternity Leave.
Next, we have Klang MP Charles Santiago, who talked about colonial-era restrictions on workers' rights that continue to exist today and limit the rights of workers and trade unions. To protect workers' rights, Charles suggested that the government focus on living wages instead.
Sekatan-sekatan hak pekerja sejak zaman penjajahan masih wujud dan ini telah melemahkan hak pekerja, kekuatan kesatuan sekerja dan proses perjanjian bersama ataupun collective bargaining yang diamalkan pada masa sekarang. Saya cadang supaya kerajaan menjalankan ulang kaji undang-undang dan regulations yang sedia ada untuk meningkatkan hak dan kekuatan pekerja, mengkuatkan kesatuan sekerja supaya mereka boleh berunding dengan sama kekuatan dengan pihak majikan. Dengan cara ini, kita boleh meningkatkan pendapatan pekerja Malaysia selaras dengan living wage dan tidak tergantung kepada gaji minima. Tuan Dipertua, yang penting ialah kerajaan patut lihat ialah gaji sara hidup, living wage dan bukan gaji minima. Ini adalah penting dan pokok dan saya minta Menteri Semasa Menggulung untuk memberi pandangan berkait dengan ini.
That was Klang MP Charles Santiago.
And that's it for today's Parliament Updates. A brief rundown of what we covered. So our national debt, which stands at 63% of the country's GDP, the Education Ministry's plans to tackle heavy school bags and the assertion that books actually take up only 28% of said school bags, which I think was a surprise to all of us in the studio, making crypto a legal tender and whether that's something we would like to see, and increasing paternity leave from 3 to 7 days. Now, just to say that I think this happened really pretty much as we were on air, but that amendment to the Employment Act did actually pass. So 7 days paternity leave is something that is going to be in place, along with, if I'm not mistaken, the extension of maternity leave from 90 to 98 days. So good news all round. There was also the fact that Ismail Sabri announced the minimum wage increase at a very specific place, the UMNO General Assembly. So if you'd like to weigh in on any of these topics, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Popit Popit Parliament will be back tomorrow. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Better, fitter ministers. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Killers with For Reasons Unknown. It is 5:25 on the dot. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And it was a busy and pretty diverse selection of topics today, actually, on Popit Popit Parliament. As a reminder, if you missed it, we talked about our national debt, which stands at 63% of the country's GDP. That was announced by the Deputy Finance Minister, who also confirmed that our Finance Minister is still our Finance Minister, a question that came up in the Day One last week. There was also talk about how the Education Ministry plans to tackle heavy school bags, which will include lockers as well as fewer subjects being taught in a day. There was a suggestion to make cryptocurrency a legal tender. There was the update that basically paternity leave has been now given up to 7 days, and that was through an amendment to the Employment Act, and also the minimum wage increase announcement coming at the UMNO General Assembly. So we've been asking you for your thoughts on these issues, and we have a number.
Okay, let's start with these on cryptocurrency. So Majid says, yes, make crypto a legal tender. Once made legal tender, similar to fiat, you can use it anywhere and everywhere. But this is just a dream that won't come true as traditional currency is the backbone of a capitalist system. Governments don't like this. As such, they are coming up with their own central bank cryptocurrencies.
We've talked about this quite a bit in the sense that we don't necessarily, we are not crypto experts ourselves. So I will just say that I think whenever it comes up, we get very strong reactions on either side. So on the one hand, we have Abdul Majid saying, yes, of course, you know, because of this issue, right? This idea of freedom from traditional currencies or, you know, all the various things that are often put forward as why crypto is the future. On the other hand, we have this from Siu Ng, who says, did I hear correctly that an MP urged for the government to get on this crypto program in order to legalize those who are now stealing electricity to mine cryptocurrency just because it's touted as the future of finance? Did no other MP challenge this view?
Well, okay, to be fair, it was Deputy Minister for Communications and Multimedia, Dato' Zahidi Zainul Abidin, who said that. I think fair to say, though, that this was something that sort of came up as a response. And the Dewan Rakyat wasn't sort of at full, not everyone was around in terms of who challenged it.
You're being very kind. It was pretty empty.
It was pretty empty was what we hear. I think this is the problem when things like cryptocurrency are discussed, right? We are very open about the fact that this is not our area of expertise, but it often feels like when people bring it up, they talk about it in places like Parliament without necessarily having expertise. It's all well and good to discuss it being legal tender, but then using it as a way to legalize the use of electricity that's being stolen. I mean, like, there are gaps in knowledge here that I feel really need to be addressed.
Like I said, very diverse bunch of topics today. So on the issue of school bags, we have this from Costa, which I thought was appropriate to look at because it is the first day of school for many. Are you sure it's 28%? When was the last time you actually saw an actual government school student school bag? I just sent my kid to Standard 1 today and it's definitely more than 28% of weight in books.
So I had that same reaction and I don't have children that go to school. But 28% of your school bag being books, what is the remainder? What are children carting to school that make up 72% of the weight, I'd like to know.
This is the thing, right? Are we talking about like 1 liter bottles that are full? Like, I'm just struggling to understand where that weight is coming in. Keep those thoughts coming. So we've been talking about making cryptocurrency a legal tender. There's also this question of school bags and how to lighten the load in that area, as well as maternity and paternity leave. Some of the thoughts that are coming through. Send them our way. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.